Appreciate that. And the words were just outstanding. God bless. This morning, I want to take a look at a topic of deepening our faith. Deepening our faith. Maybe you've been a Christian for many years. Can I have a show of hands? If you've been a Christian for a believer, born again, if you've been a believer for, say, anybody more than 30 years? 30 years? More than 30? Okay, so a number. How about 20 or more? Raise your hand if you're in the 20 or more year. Oh, some of you are like, oh. Okay, think about it. 20 or more. How about more than 10 years? 10 or more years. Okay. How about, and when I say 10 or more, I mean between 10 and 20, so don't keep raising your hand every time. How about less than 5 years? Less than 5? 0 to 5? Anybody less than 2 years? Less than 2? Sarah in the back is raising her hand. She wants to get in on the action. Well, listen, you know, some of us have been believers for a long time. Some much shorter. Your walk with God hasn't been as long, and doesn't mean that one who's been a Christian for 20 years is necessarily more developed and even more spiritual than one who's been for 5. Some Christians can just continue as infants and babes for all their Christian walk, all their Christian life, which is a shame. But we're all on different levels of our development and our relationship with the Lord. But whatever your level, however long you've been walking with the Lord, I hope that your prayer is, Lord, I want to deepen my faith. I want my faith to be deepened today. I've been walking with the Lord a long time myself as well. And I'd be lying to you if I said I never had my ups and downs in my walk, in my faith. Or if I never had some difficulties or waverings or struggles. I just thank God, though, that my salvation was not up to me. It wasn't about myself. And therefore, I know that my keeping my salvation is not up to me either. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's not initiated by us. It was initiated by God. God is the one who did everything for us, and we could do nothing. All we could do is come to Him in faith and say, Lord, save me. That's it. But that in itself is not a work. That is an acknowledgement. So I thank the Lord for that. But my prayer, though, and I hope yours is, God, please increase my faith. Help me to trust you more. Is that your prayer this morning? Do you want more faith in God, in your life, and what He's doing in your life, what He's doing in your family, whatever is happening in your home, in your life right now? God, I need faith. Help me to trust you more. Whatever difficulties and issues are coming your way right now, today we're going to review some of the great ways that God uses to deepen our faith. Before we do, though, I want to take a look at a couple of Bible verses on faith just to get us warmed up, just to get us started. The first one comes from Mark 9:24. I like this. Read this with me, if you would. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. This has always captured my interest. The father needed help desperately. He wanted Jesus to heal his son. We're not going through the entire story and the background and everything. That's not what it's about. But Jesus had just reminded him, all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible to him who believes. And the father had faith. He believed in God. He believed even in Jesus and who he was. And that's why he came to him. But in humility, he cried out, help my unbelief. Another statement Jesus made gets me thinking. Matthew 9:29. He said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And so, my brothers and sisters, I'm asking you, what are you expecting of God in your life? What are you expecting of God? I'm not talking about just being motivational or thinking positively. I'm not saying whatever you wish for, that's what's going to be done, like some magical trick. I'm asking, how much faith do you have in God? How much faith do you have in him and what he has done in your life? That he is God, that he is in control of your life? Do I truly believe that I am no longer condemned? There is no condemnation to those in Christ. Do I have faith in that? Is that what I believe? Do I truly believe that I am not free from sin, that Jesus has broken the bondage of sin in my life? And I don't have to serve it anymore. Do I truly believe that he is with me wherever I go and he will not leave me, he will not forsake me no matter what comes into my life? These promises of God, according to your faith, let it be to you. I believe as people, we tend to see what we expect to see. We tend to hear things that we are expecting to hear. And we tend to feel the way we expect to feel. And inevitably we accomplish what we expect we will accomplish. I want a deeper faith in God. I want to see him more. I want him to accomplish in my life the things he wants to accomplish. I want a deeper faith. So how does God deepen our faith? How is our faith deepened and made better, stronger? How? It's not through just reading another book. It's not through another seminar. How does God strengthen our faith? It's not something that you're going to be real excited about at first, but the truth is God strengthens and deepens your faith by constantly testing your faith. He does. How many in this room here like to work out? You have a regular workout routine. Go to the gym, go to the boot camp, do something. We have two people in this auditorium. You guys are some of the most unhealthiest people. Okay, we're going to have a boot camp sign up after church this morning in the back. And it's good to work out. Take care of our bodies. It's good to keep as healthy as we can. The Bible says that bodily exercise profits what? A little. Okay, now it's making a comparison here with spiritual nourishment, spiritual exercise. Okay, so, but it doesn't say don't exercise the body, and it doesn't say it's useless. It is good. It is good to take care of this body that God has given us. Compared to our spiritual life, then it only profits little. Because the spiritual things are eternal. And the body, no matter how much you exercise, it's still going to age. It's still going to wear out. Okay, that's just the simple truth. But from time to time, I also get determined I'm going to get into some good shape. And so I'll either sign up for a gym membership or I'll start doing a regular outdoor exercise routine. And I begin. And you know what happens on the first day of such a routine? Or after the first day? Major pain. Okay, it hurts. I am sore. Sometimes it's the next day, sometimes it's 2 days afterwards, and then it lasts for several days. And I can't move, and my muscles are just aching, and don't touch me. Anybody ever felt that? Okay, good. That's why you're not working out anymore, right? It hurts. But what happens? After a few days, the pain goes away. And then for some stupid reason, you go and do it again. And it hurts again. And you keep going back for more pain and more pain. And okay, what begins to take place? You begin to be stronger. And the pain doesn't hurt so much. And you find you can do more. And you find you're actually in much better shape. And you feel better overall. And you're healthier and stronger. Why? Because you have been working that body. And you've been testing it. You've been pushing it. And even though it causes some pain and the muscles are stretched and the muscles actually tear, but they heal quickly, and because of that, they become stronger. And this is what God does in our life with our faith. He tests it. He pushes it. He stretches it. And it hurts sometimes. But He wants to build us, not destroy us. James chapter 1, verse 3. Look at this passage, or read this one with me too. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So this is God's work in your life, that He's going to test you. And it may hurt, but let it continue its work, so that you may be perfect, or the word here is the equivalent to being complete, being totally mature as God would have you, a complete package. Be mature, be perfect. And so God allows testing in your life for this purpose. So how does God deepen our faith? We're going to look at four things this morning. The first one is going to really excite you. He tests it through trials. Amen? Are you excited? Are you glad that God uses trials? Well, He does. This is one of the primary tools that He allows into our lives to test you, to stretch that faith of yours. And these trials are going to continue to come through our life. Don't think being a Christian, and I know those of you who have been Christians for more than 5 years, don't think that being a Christian means you're immune from trials. I guess you've learned a long time ago that's not the case. God allows these things in your life, and maybe even now you can look back on some of those deepest trials, and yet you see how much God used that to strengthen your faith in Him. And some of those trials may have been so painful and not the kind of things that you want to do again. You're not asking for them. You're not saying, oh, God, that was a great one. Please let it happen again. That's not your prayer. But yet you can still look back and say, God, thank you that through that difficult, hard time, my faith was drawn closer to you and I grew stronger in you. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, Peter is saying here, rejoice, even though now for a while it's painful. You're grieved by many different trials. It's difficult. But he says that this happens for a purpose, that the genuineness of your faith, it's tested. It's much more precious than gold, but it's tested with fire, that it may be found to glory and honor Jesus Christ. That's the purpose. That's our purpose. And God allows these trials to come into our lives, the furnaces that test us. Nothing ever happens by accident to a child of God. Everything that comes into your life, God has allowed it. Now, this is a difficult concept, and maybe you might struggle with it, especially if you think about this trial or that trial. But the truth is, nothing comes into our life except what God has allowed. Now, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying that God plans all the bad things that happen to you and he gets you with them. He doesn't have to plan those things. We live in this world. This world is full of sin. This world is fallen. There is difficulty. There is trials. There is pain in this world. But he does allow and permit them. He allows them. Nothing comes into your life if you're a child of God. Nothing comes into your life without God's permission. It couldn't happen without God's permission. And even then, sometimes God has to make a special trial or special problem to teach you faith, to test you. Think of the life of Jonah in the Old Testament. He was running from God. And God had to come up with a special trial for Jonah. What was that special custom trial? Anybody ever been swallowed by a giant fish? Okay. No, that was a special trial. But there have been trials that have come into your life perhaps for a reason and to get your attention, to get you to listen to God, to get you to tune into Him. And God allowed it into your life, and maybe it's a totally unique one that I've never experienced, but God allowed it for you, for a purpose, for a reason. Here's a great verse when you're going through tough times, Isaiah 48, verse 10. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. The furnace of affliction. You like that phrase? Have you ever been burned in the furnace of affliction? God is testing you. He's testing your faith, not to hurt you and not to destroy you, but to build you and to strengthen you, to make you stronger in Him, to make you more reliant on Him, to make you look to Him, make you see Him, and ultimately for His glory and His purposes. The furnace of affliction. And then James tells us in James 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. My friend, can you thank God for the trials that He sends your way? Not because you love the pain. Not because it's just so hard and that's the way, that's the best way to be. But because God has allowed it and God uses it and He has a purpose in it. Can you thank God during times of sickness? Again, not saying, oh God, I love being sick. Oh God, I love the cancer that, I have. But God, thank you for allowing this trial in my life, because I know that you are using even this for your purpose to test me, to strengthen me. I know that you love me. I know that you are with me. You will not forsake me. And you have a purpose for even this in my life. So God, I thank you for it. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you lose a job and you don't understand what is happening and why. Can you count all joy? Can you say, God, I thank you that you have allowed this to happen in my life. This was not something outside of your control. You've allowed this. And so while I may not see the whole big picture and I can't understand everything, I know that you're in control and you're using this to build me and to test me. And so for that, I thank you, God. There are many trials that come into our life, and God uses them to build us. How about the trials that come into our life as a result of our own sin? Our own sin. Sometimes there are just consequences to sin. Let me give you an example. If for some reason I fall into sin and I yield to sin and I decide I'm in love with another young lady and I'm leaving my wife Jennifer and I fall into sin, life can get very hard, and not to mention bodily injury from Jennifer. So it can have its physical toll upon me. But, you know, there would be consequences to that, wouldn't there be? But I want you to know, even at that time, even then, and while you know, my responsibility would be to repent of sin, to turn to the Lord, even in that, there would be consequences. And it would hurt. It would be painful. But even in that, I can say, Lord, thank you for allowing these consequences of my foolishness, my foolish actions, my sin. Because even in that, he's getting my attention and wanting me to use the pain to bring me back into fellowship with him and others. So yes, God uses pain and trials. Sometimes just because we live in a sinful world, sometimes a result of our own actions and their consequences of our own sin. Consider it joy. Thank the Lord in the sin. So today, in your heart, say thank you, Lord, for the trials happening in my life right now. Thank you, Lord. A second thing that he uses is a call to obedience. Write that one down. A call to obedience. He asks us to do things sometimes that are difficult. And so that command to say, I want you to do this, is a test. And it stretches our faith. Throughout the New Testament, there are commands for believers to obey. All of these commands, some of them seem unreasonable, perhaps. Some of them seem impossible. Impossible for you. When you have a command and it seems like I just can't do that, the issue then is, who am I going to believe? Where is my faith? Who am I going to have faith in? The Bible tells us to not worry. Don't be anxious about anything. Anyone struggle with this command? It's a struggle. But it's a command, and that command itself is a test and a stretching of our faith. Be good to your enemies. Do good to your enemies. Is that a difficult one? Absolutely. Forgive others. We must forgive those who hurt us. Is that difficult? Yes, and this is a test, a stretching, exercising of your faith. Be thankful in everything. Can be difficult. The list goes on and on. The Bible tells the believers to flee sexual immorality. And in this world that we live in, where it is so common, it is considered normal, and sexual immorality is all sexual involvement outside of the marriage covenant, but it's so common and so normal today, and even many Christian young people have come to accept that this is just not something they can do. Every time God gives a command in the Bible, it is a demand that is placed on our life. It's a test. Confess your faults one to another. That's a test. The test is, am I going to trust what God says to do and what God says is right, or am I going to trust myself more, my thinking? Am I going to lean on my own understanding, not on the Lord's? Am I going to trust my own opinion to do what is right in my own eyes? There are hundreds of examples in the Bible where God gives a command and there's a test. What are you going to do? When he came to Noah, he says, Noah, there's going to be a flood. You must build a boat in the middle of a dry area. That was a command. Noah had a decision to make. Noah had a test before him. Am I going to believe God, even though it seems ridiculous and impossible, but am I going to trust him? This was a test of his faith. Abraham, he had everything going his way. Everything was good. He had a good life. And God says, I want you to leave all this and go to some other land that I'm going to show you. You don't know where it is, but I will show you. Was it a test of his faith? He said to Abraham later to offer his one and only son as a sacrifice to him. And Abraham had to ask, what am I going to do? Am I going to obey God even though I may not understand it? Or am I going to trust in my own wisdom, my own thinking? So today, I encourage you, pray to the Lord this morning. God, when I see a command in your word, I will obey. Give me the strength to obey fully. So God uses commands to deepen our faith. And thirdly, God uses our possessions. I'm talking about all that God gives us. Money is one of the great tests of faith in your life. In Luke 16, Jesus says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? What is Jesus talking about here? He's saying there's a definite, direct relationship between how I handle money and the spiritual depth of my life. In fact, Jesus says, if I'm not faithful in handling the material wealth that he gives to us, he will not trust me with the spiritual wealth. In 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7, but as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others. This was their sincerity, and it was the test, and it was in their free giving to help, to meet the needs of someone else, to meet the needs of others. This was a test of their faith, a test of their faith. And so this morning, my friends, I encourage you, may your prayer be, Lord, help me to be a faithful steward of all that you have given me. Help me to be generous in giving to you and giving to others. Our possessions, God uses them to deepen our faith. And finally, fourth, what was the first one? Our trials. That's not a fun one, but God uses that. Thank the Lord in them. What was the second one? The commands? Oh, call to obedience. You guys got them up there. You're cheating. Glenn, the third, thank you. Third one? Okay, and now the fourth one may excite you about as much as the first one, but God uses this, and that is delays to prayer. Delays to prayer. When you pray, you know, sometimes the simple truth is, God may answer in several ways. He may answer with absolutely yes, I will answer that prayer right now. And we have to accept that he may answer no. This is not what I want for you. Remember, he's our Father, our Heavenly Father. And as a father, as all fathers do, sometimes they say no because they know more than you know. They see a bigger picture. And they know sometimes something is not going to be good for you. It's not the best for you. Or they want to build character in you. And so they'll say no. Other times, though, the answer may simply be a delay. Not yet. Wait. Just wait. It's not time. And sometimes, like spoiled brats, spoiled children, we get impatient. We don't like to hear that wait, do we? You have a 1 or 2 year old child at home and they're hungry. They don't often understand the word wait. Just 30 more minutes, you have to wait. And instead of saying, oh, okay, Mom, I appreciate that answer, they will whine, they will cry, and they will say, I'm hungry now. And it makes life very stressful for Mom, doesn't it? But sometimes we have to accept God saying, wait to us. Wait to us. We have to wait on things. It's human nature that we hate to wait. I hate to wait. Raise your hand if you're an impatient person. You're just, you know, everyone knows that you're an impatient person. You hate to wait in lines. You know, you get to the store and there's a line to wait in to buy your, you know, you want to push the little kids out of the way. That's what I do. You hate to be in traffic. Everyone love traffic in Auckland? I know some of you come from other places. You know, you talk about, oh, how terrible it is in the Philippines. I'm not in the Philippines. I'm here, and I don't like the traffic here. And I know there's other places that are also bad. I hate waiting. I hate waiting. You order something online through the internet, and you want it here. You don't want to wait for it. You got to wait, and you wonder, why didn't it arrive today? Israel wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness before they entered into the promised land. They had to wait. Why? Well, God was doing a work in their life. And yes, that generation, God didn't allow them to enter. And so they had to wait. In Deuteronomy 8, it puts it this way. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So that time in the wilderness wasn't just a wasted time. It wasn't just doing nothing. God used it to test them, to humble them, to see what was in their heart. And so sometimes that time of waiting for us is the same. God is using the wait time to test us, to see what's in our heart. Does our heart belong to him? And can we truly just say, God, I thank you that you're in control of my life. And even though I'm an impatient person, help me to wait on you. Help me to trust you. Deepen my faith. Lord, deepen my faith. Do you ever find yourself in situations where you feel like that you're in a hurry and you get the distinct impression that God isn't in as nearly as much a hurry as you are? Do you get in those situations? Why? God is more interested in your faith more than anything. He's not just interested in giving you just what you ask for the moment you ask for it. He's not just more interested in making sure that you're comfortable, providing all your needs that you feel that you have to have met at that moment, like that child. He's interested in your faith, your character, the kind of person you are. He's testing you and building you. And some of you are waiting on something right now. You've been praying for something. And it's been important to your heart. Maybe it's the most important thing in your life right now. It's your main concern, your main prayer. Now, I don't know what it is for all of you, but you've been praying. And maybe you've been waiting. And you're waiting a long time. I want you to know while you're waiting, God is still there. It's not that he hasn't heard you. He doesn't leave you alone. And this in itself may just be that test that is testing our faith, that is strengthening our faith, that is deepening our faith. Because God uses these difficulties, the trials that come. God uses the obedience, the call to obedience in our life. God uses our possessions, but He also uses these delays to your life, in your life. So my friends, may your prayer today be, God, help me to trust You, and while I wait, to wait patiently on You, and forgive me for my lack of faith. Would you stand with me, please? We've just reviewed these four simple things. And it's not groundbreaking, I'm sure. But it is a good review of how God deepens our faith with Him. And I want a deeper faith with the Lord. And I pray and trust that you do too. And that is why you are here. No matter how long you've been a Christian, may your desire and prayer be, God, deepen my faith. And so He uses these things, the trials that come into our life. He allows them. They're there for a purpose. He tests us with the calls to obedience. When we hear what God has to say to us, will we obey Him? Even when it's difficult. Even when it doesn't make sense to us. He uses our possessions, the things that He gives to us. Will we be faithful stewards? Will we be generous with the things that He gives to us? And He uses delays to the prayers. My friends, what is on your heart right now? What is the most important thing in your life right now? The thing that weighs heaviest on you at this moment. This is the thing I want you to bring to the Lord right now. I want you to come before Him right now and say, Lord, You know my heart. You know what weighs heavily on me. This is that trial, Lord, that You've allowed. And I pray that You will be glorified in it. And that through it, I will lean on You. I will trust in You. Maybe you've gone to the Lord in prayer and says, God, take this away from me. Or God, would You intervene in this situation? Would You do something about it? Will You fix it? And you're waiting. And sometimes you get impatient. I want you to bring that to the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord, thank You for bringing it into my life, for using it to refine me, to refine my faith. And Lord, help me to wait patiently upon You for Your hand, for Your answer. I will wait upon You, Lord. Whatever your need is, bring it to Him at this time, would you? We'll take a few moments. And I encourage you to pray. If you'd like to come at the front, do so at this time. Just a few moments. Bible says to cast your burdens upon Him, for He cares for you. Cast your burdens upon Him. That's what I'm asking you to do right now. Give Him your burdens. He cares for you. Let us pray. My Father, I thank you for loving us. Thank you that you are our Father. You are the perfect Father. Lord, thank you for deepening our faith through these various ways that we've looked at, through the trials, through the commands to obey, through our possessions, and through delaying and waiting. All these things, Lord, deepen and strengthen us. They stretch us, and sometimes it hurts and it's painful. We don't like it every time. But Lord, may we count it all joy in these trials, because we know that you are working in us, even when we do not understand and see. You are working something great in us, and we thank you. Build our faith, Lord. Deepen our faith, I pray. And I pray for my brothers and sisters, whatever is the heaviest on them right now, Lord, I pray that in it they would rejoice, because you are God, you are there, you love them, you will never leave them. Give them strength, Lord, to endure, and I pray that you would refine them and build their faith in it. Lord, meet their needs. I pray that you would answer their prayers, and even if you delay an answer, Lord, may they recognize that you are God, you know what's best, and you are using all things to build them, not hurt them. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please take a seat if you would. And if I could have some help preparing the table from some men. Thank you, gentlemen. And Pastor Mike, I guess. Thank you. The Lord's Supper. Communion. We call this a memorial, but it's not really just a memorial like we observe memorials of other people who have passed away, and we just remember them for what they were, remember their death, and we grieve inside because of it. It's not that kind of memorial. Because Jesus says, "This is my body which is broken for you. And this is my blood which was given, which was spilled for you." So as we take the Lord's Supper, we remember what it has done, what Jesus has done, what God has done for us at his death. He was that sacrifice. And as we remember the blood, we remember the body, it's because of that we have communion with God. We commune with him. We have a relationship with him. He's made the way. He's made it possible. And so while it is a somber time, it's a serious time, as we recall his sacrifice for us, it's also a time of joy because of what his sacrifice and death accomplished. And so we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Again, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, "I receive from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread." So my friends, I invite you to come and take the elements and return to your seats, and we'll do it together. So outside rows, if you would please stand, make your way forward, and then the center rows as well. And for any who do not know, we do have bread that is gluten-free if you need that. All right? We do provide that too. Thank you, man. Again, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we remember that body, Lord, that was taken and put on the cross and died for us. But Lord, it's a hard concept for us to imagine how that you existed through all eternity as part of the Godhead. And yet, at a certain point in time, you took upon a body, a frail human body, so that you could die. Lord, you allowed that body to be that sacrifice, to die for us once and for all. We thank you for that body in Jesus' name. Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So, Father, we hold now the cup to remind us of that precious blood that was shed, that was spilled. Oh, Lord, should have been us to die. For Jesus had done no wrong. He was sinless, but he was the Lamb of God. We thank you that his blood was willingly shed. His blood washed away all of our sin. We thank you, Lord, for that blood in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have done once again as the Lord has commanded us, and we'll continue until he comes. We will proclaim his death.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning and for those who were serving in the communion and the preparation, and for each of you who were able to take the time, rededicate yourself to the Lord, and to renew yourself by the taking of the communion. Hey, this morning we're going to take just a moment and make some of the announcements on the inside. If you look on the inside of your bulletin, just to check these things out, that's coming up. Under notices, we have the Gospel Project. That's starting today at 10 o'clock. This is with our teen group, and this is the new Sunday school series that they will be doing, not only for Sunday mornings during the teen group time at 10 o'clock, but then they'll carry that on through the rest of the week as well. So that starts today. If you have any questions, parents, about that, see Josh, and he will give you all the details that's going along with that. Tonight we resume the Overcomers. This is the group that we meet together, and we discuss 10 basic, simple principles from the Word of God to help you through difficult times. If this is something that perhaps you would be interested in, or if you know someone that would be interested in this, then please let me know about that. We meet tonight at 5 o'clock where we will continue on with our Overcomers. New members class that will begin next Sunday. This is at 10 o'clock during the Sunday school time. So if you have been a part of the International Baptist Church for some time, but you're not a member and you'd like to be a member, come along to this class. We'll go through what the church believes. We'll take you through how our church is set up. And we'll also help you with any questions that you might have about International Baptist Church. So new members class starting next week, 10 o'clock. It's 5 weeks. Pastor Ken will be teaching that through the 5 week sessions. Choir practice, for those of you who are a part of the choir or would like to be a part of the choir, Jackie Wee will be organizing this and putting the choir together starting on the 16th of October. That's next Sunday as well. And they'll be meeting here at the church at 1:15 for practices and to give you all the information that's going along with the choir. We have a couples retreat coming up on the 10th, 11th, and 12th of November. That's at the Pacific Park Christian Camp in Papamoa. $170 is the cost per couple. And so we have 14 rooms available for the conference. If you would like to be a part of that, it's really on a first-come, first-served basis. So the first 14 couples that sign up and the first ones who put their deposit down of $50, those are the ones that will be guaranteed a space for the conference. Our missionaries continue to pray for Cliff and Shannon Wadsworth. These are missionary church planters that we support right here at International Baptist Church, and they have been faithful at Cornerstone Baptist Church for many, many years now, and so we're so grateful and thankful for their ministry and to be a part of that. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you. Pastor Ken mentioned at the beginning of the message about the exercise. If you're interested in coming out to a Saturday morning session here at the church, we do that at 8:30 in the mornings. It's free for you on Saturday morning, so come along and check it out and try to get yourself in shape. That would be a great thing, wouldn't it? No, of course not. Everyone's saying no. Of course not, they're saying. Only two people raised their hand. Pastor Ken said that earlier. Before we are dismissed, let's take just a moment and celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Birthdays, anniversaries. Anyone celebrating a birthday this week from today through Saturday? Or if we missed your birthday from last week, if you were not here for last week. Anyone celebrating? Come on up. Birthday celebration. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? Alan, his was this past week as well. Anyone else celebrating a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Did anyone have a wedding anniversary this coming week? Or perhaps from the last week? Did we miss you from last week? Bayou, are you coming up for anniversary, right?
Yes, my mother.
Bayou and Liza. How many years has it been, Bayou? See, he's practiced that because I asked him last week. No, he knew right away. Anyone else with anniversary? Anyone else birthday or anniversary? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday first. And then we're going to come back and we'll sing Happy Anniversary. Let's all sing. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Amen. Give Eliza an extra chocolate for putting up with Bayou that long. Amen. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer, okay? Thank you, Lord, for your word to us today and these reminders, Lord, of your building our faith. Lord, help us to trust you more. I pray our faith would be deeper today than it was yesterday, deeper next week than it was this week. Lord, thank you. Continue your work in us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.